tonight. I have the honor to be able to acknowledge the person that's speaking tonight is Annalisa. She's bringing the word tonight. And one thing that this house is set goals for is to raise people up. And if we don't give people the opportunity for their gift, then we're missing. So everybody stand and just acknowledge her and honor her. Annalisa.
Hey, y'all. Hey, guys. It's good to see y'all. I already have one. I'm going to put this down. I missed you guys last weekend. It's good to see y'all. I'm going to get settled so up here. But I have such a heart for Israel, as we all should. So that was just really awesome to see. I really appreciated that. Because it's very near and dear to my heart as well. So I was talking to the Lord about this message during worship, and the Lord was just like, I really do, it never ceases to amaze me that this is home for me, and I still get nervous coming up here to talk to you guys, but we're family, and the Lord was just saying, hey, remember, you have fun with this. Just get up and have fun with your family. So we're just going to have fun tonight, despite the topic being pretty deep. maybe some of you won't like it, but it's okay. It's going to be good. I was going over it with Joey earlier today, and I kept getting fired up. It's like, oh, okay, here we go. So we're probably going to get fired up tonight, but I'm excited. I'm excited to be here, and I'm thankful, and I'm just constantly in awe of worshiping in this house with you guys and being a part of this house. It's really incredible. Like, I know that we say that, and you're just like, oh, it's constantly said, but it really is incredible to come in here and worship together in unity as believers and just worship our God. Like, what a gift. What a gift. And not just like my age, but with youth and with kids and with people older than me. I got you. But it's really such a beautiful, powerful thing, and it's incredible. We were driving back last weekend from our family trip, and I was listening to Kyle's message, and I had been, I had typed up my notes for this message, and I hadn't sent them to Kyle yet. I was trying to make some final notes to it, and I was listening to his message, and I sent him a text. I was like, oh man, I'm excited for this weekend. And so if you're taking notes tonight, we're going to stay in the wind. We're going to stay in the series of the wind. I'm always, whenever I go to do a message for you guys, I always sit with the Lord and I say, Lord, what do you have for us? What do you want me to bring for this house? Because I also receive while I'm writing this. I also am being walked through this with you guys. And so when I was asking the Lord this, and sometimes we don't know, you know, when Kyle asks, I don't know if I'm going to stay in the series that he's going to do, that he's doing, or if it's going to be separate. But it just so happens that it is going to be in the series. It's going to stay in the series of the wind, moving with the Holy Spirit. So if you're taking notes tonight, the title of tonight's message is Holy Spirit and the Role of Conviction. I know, I hear you guys. And that response is one we're going to talk about. I'm going to start by reading part of Romans. I'm going to throw the media team for a loop. I'm so sorry. I'm going to read Romans. It's Romans 5:5, but I'm going to read some before that too. We're going to be in Romans chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 3. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. What does that have to do with conviction? It has everything to do with conviction. But I want to start with, when we think of this verse, we typically think of suffering, because it says suffering, when we suffer, when we endure. Right? It brings us, it builds our character, it builds our faith, which builds hope. But conviction does that also. The day-to-day, when we are convicted by the Holy Spirit, that day-to-day also is endurance of our faith. And I would argue, as a mom and a wife, that those daily ones are sometimes harder than the deep, deep darkness and sufferings. Those convictions produce hope, and that's going to matter. That's going to matter. It matters in the big picture. I really enjoy teaching. I really enjoy deep diving into church history and the early church and the Bible. I love that stuff. And one of my favorite authors to read, some of you might know, is Augustine of Hippo. And I'm going to read a quote from him. He's an early, church father. I say that loosely, but he's just an early theologian. He was around the time of 350 AD, so pretty recent after Christ, right? So not to us. but I want to read a quote that ties into this of his when it comes to conviction and the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if that's up there or not, but I'm going to read it slow because language is different. Augustine said, "The human will is so divinely helped in the pursuit of righteousness that the believer receives the Holy Spirit by whom there is formed in his mind a delight in and a love of that supreme and unchangeable good, which is God. By this gift to him of the down payment, as it were, of the free gift, he, the believer, conceives a burning desire to cleave to his maker." And I love that, because what that tells me and helps me to understand that as I endure in my faith, I have a helper. Jesus called Holy Spirit helper. I have a helper as I pursue to follow Jesus. I have a divine helper. But it also tells me that I have the desire to cling to my God. Now, what's really cool about this is I had that desire before I knew God. I'm gonna explain that to you. As humans, we have a desire to know our Maker. And if you want me to prove that, you can look at things like the study of philosophy, scientific theories. Even if there are people that believe we came from nothing, there's a desire to know that we came from nothing. But how cool is it that when, as believers, we say, "Jesus, I accept you as my Savior and you cover me," and Holy Spirit gets a hold of us and in us, and now all of a sudden that desire is pointed to the true Maker, and Holy Spirit is saying, "I am not going to let you let go." That's incredible. Yeah. And that viewpoint is where we're going to sit when we talk about conviction, because that is the viewpoint that we have to be in so that we don't have the response of, "Whew." It's going to make a difference. Last week, Kyle mentioned convicting. I don't know if you guys remember it. He mentioned it briefly in his message where he talked about how conviction is just it's convincing you of who you are. It's convincing you back to who you are. Now, modern day terms of conviction, I'm going to get some water probably often. One second. I don't know how to do that naturally yet, so bear with me. The modern definition of conviction, when we hear it, most likely, which is why I got some of the response that I did, you hear, "I was convicted of a wrongdoing. I am guilty of a crime or a wrongdoing." Yes? No? Yeah, modern day, right? I mean, it's used in our judicial system. The definition of the word. It's also in the dictionary. I looked it all up. So modern day definition of conviction is guilty of a crime, guilty of a wrongdoing. However, that is not the biblical definition. The Hebrew word, which is used in the Old Testament in Job and Ezekiel, is the same meaning for the Greek word used in the New Testament. I'm going to give you both. Okay, look, I already lost all my notes. Come on. The Hebrew word is yakah, yakah. Okay, that's a Hebrew word for convict. The Greek word is alengo, alengo. Those two words both mean the same thing. It means to correct, to reprove, to discipline. Not guilty, not criminal, to correct. It makes what Kyle said last week a little bit more clear. Convincing you of the correct path. To correct. That is the definition that we as believers are working with when we see Holy Spirit in that role. As the one who corrects. Okay? But it's no wonder when we look at the modern day definition that we all know, that we all grew up with, it's no wonder that our bodies get a little clammy, that we get a little, oh, I don't want to be guilty. That makes me really uncomfortable for you to say that I'm wrong, that I did something wrong. And we have an emotional response. We have a physical response. So what we need to do, because when we as believers come into the kingdom of God, we have a new culture. We have a kingdom culture. So that when we hear the word conviction or I have been convicted, we hear freedom and not chains. So we are going to retrain our bodies and our emotions when we hear that word. We say, yeah, come on, let's go. Where are you taking me, God? Because I'm coming. That's what we're going to do today. Let's go. In order to do that, I want us to look at two things. I want us to look at guilt and conviction. Because at first glance, because of what maybe we grew up with or maybe we're used to hearing, they sound the same. They get the same response. We have to be able to decipher the two, to separate the two, because they are not the same. And we're going to read about that in Scripture, how they are very different, how they bring different responses. Sometimes they feel the same because in both cases, when there is guilt and conviction, something is being brought to the light. Something is being brought to the light. When you are guilty, there is a wrongdoing that is brought to the light. When someone says, when you feel guilt or you respond with guilt, there is a wrongdoing that is brought to the light. But when you are convicted, there is also something being brought to the light. But it is not always sin. Sometimes it's just that you're not walking in the path that God has called you to. It doesn't mean that you're sinning. Sometimes it does. But sometimes it's just you're walking on a different path, and maybe that's a good path, and you're like, this is great, but that's not what the Lord has for you. He has something greater. Conviction isn't always mean you're sinning or doing something wrong. It's just bringing something to the light so that you can be realigned fully with our God. Guilt and conviction are very easily distinguishable by the response that happens next. Because if it is guilt that you are hearing, Holy Spirit doesn't bring guilt. Holy Spirit brings conviction. But if it is guilt you are hearing, then your response is typically fight or flight. How am I going to get out of this? How am I going to save myself? What do I need to do to make sure this only stays here? Conviction brings freedom. There are different responses that happen. Guilt is followed typically by shame. We read that in Romans. Hope, there is no hope, there is no shame in hope. Conviction will always bring freedom. Guilt leads to a domino effect of anything other than correction. It will not be a, let me get this corrected. Let me realign this part of my heart or my life. It's not going to be owning up to anything. Guilt pulls you in and you experience a spiral. And I know that a lot of us in here know it, myself included. It brings us to a spiral of shame, anxiety, depression, emotions that are difficult to get out of, all because we misplaced it. We looked at it in a way that we shouldn't have looked at it. We're accusing ourselves and coming up against ourselves when God says, stop! That's not how I see you. I just want you back here. And Holy Spirit is like, stop. You really want to cling to your maker. And Holy Spirit is going to do whatever it can, whatever he can, to get you to do that, to correct it. We're going to read two examples in Scripture where we see each of these happening. We see guilt and shame. And you probably already know these examples, but we're going to do it anyway. We're going to go to 2 Samuel. If you know the story I'm talking about, you can just shout his name out. We're going to 2 Samuel 11, and I'm going to read a few of the verses in chapter 11. I'm going to set this stage for you. There is a guy who was a little bit, he's taken advantage of his power, and he is a man after God's own heart. Yeah, there you go, guys. It's David. And he has seen a woman, and he has done things he should not have done. Okay? And it's going to get out. But David doesn't listen to conviction. All he sees is guilt. So this happens. So David sent word to Joab, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked how Joab was doing and how the people were doing and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. And Uriah went out to the king's house, and there followed him a present from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and did not go down to his house. Why am I reading this part? Because this is a turning point for David. This is where David is really trying to get out of what he's done. He's going to have a baby with another woman, and Uriah is that woman's husband. And instead of owning up, he suffers in his guilt, and Uriah dies for it. He sends Uriah out to war instead. All David saw was himself. All guilt sees is the person that it is taking over. Conviction has a bigger and better picture. Conviction is not just for us, no matter if we think that or if it feels like that. The convictions Holy Spirit gives us and convicts us of is not just for us. David's guilt caused him to do anything but own up. And it ultimately caused death. And David suffers the consequences of that. Examples for this, real life, right? Because this is like David, he's a king, took a power trip, like he took advantage of that. But real life, when you get caught doing something that you're not supposed to be doing, when you gossip, when you know you're not supposed to be gossiping, when you talk about a friend behind their back, when you say something ugly and you know that it's cut the other person, and Holy Spirit is saying, go apologize. And instead, you make an excuse. Instead, you say, no, I don't have to. They know it. I know they know it. Or let me make up more lies so it doesn't look like it was me. Let me try and wiggle my way out of this one, and next time, I'll be honest. There's always next time. There is always next time. But Holy Spirit calls us to now. So the response to David that David had would look like that today. And I'm sure at some point, all of us have tried to get out of a lie or tried to wiggle out of a tight spot when Holy Spirit was telling us, no, apologize, go ask for forgiveness, go own up to what you did. Our response matters. Guilt also leads to a victim mindset. If you know me, victim mindset like really bothers me. It really bothers me. But the victim mindset of everything is happening to me, right? This, it's not my fault. Everything is happening to me. And I am the victim all the time. And it is true. We suffer from the sin of the world and the sin of others. That's true. But there is something to be said when we own up to what we do. Because Holy Spirit doesn't let us walk out of righteousness because righteousness is who we are. Jesus covers us. That is who you are. Holy Spirit is not letting you get away with that. I know. I live that. I get it. Conviction of the Holy Spirit leads to a turning back. A stepping back into alignment, realigning every part of our lives and our hearts with Jesus. That's what conviction leads to. We're gonna read that with another example in John 4. Some of you probably know this story as well. Probably know this story very well. This is Jesus. Main character now, all the time, main character all the time. But main character in this passage, because he's the one who is speaking, and he's speaking to a woman who has not lived a very holy life. And Jesus is calling that out. But he's calling her into himself. And her response is so beautiful. So in chapter 4, I'm going to read a little bit of 18, and then I'm going to jump. So Jesus is talking to this woman at a well. And verse 18 says, "For you have had 5 husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Okay? That's a conversation that her and Jesus are having. And I'm going to jump ahead. They have the conversation. Just then, his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me all I ever did. Can this be the Christ, the Messiah?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. So here Jesus is saying, "I know what you've done. I know these things." But did he accuse her? Was there guilt? No. Was there shame? No. There was freedom. So much freedom that she ran back and said, "Y'all, the Messiah is here," and brought the town to him. That's what conviction does. Conviction brings us to a deeper level of freedom to say, "Hey, this is my God. This is Jesus. Do you know him? Because he is incredible." Conviction of the Holy Spirit is a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful and powerful thing. Today, we don't have women at wells and walking up to them and just reading their mail. Some people do come up to me and read my mail sometimes. Working in the prophetic, man, just be ready, okay? Lots of us in here, guys, so y'all be ready. But when you come up and something is revealed or brought to light from your heart through Holy Spirit, whether it's through someone else, through another believer, through Holy Spirit in your quiet time, and something is brought to the light, our response is different than that of guilt. Our response is, "Okay, Lord, what do I need to do? What are you calling me to do now?" Sometimes it is to ask for forgiveness. Sometimes it is to own up to what you've done. I've had some friends who've had to own up to some awful stuff. And then they walk in freedom, and I'm like, wow. Jesus is incredible. And sometimes that doesn't always save us from earthly consequences. But it gives us freedom in those earthly consequences. We walk in a freedom when those happen. And people see Jesus deeper. So our response when Holy Spirit is correcting us looks like, "Okay, God, let me get back in alignment with you." Open arms, open hands, open heart. What are you calling me to do? That's what our response as believers should look like, because that takes us into a deeper level of freedom. But it doesn't just take us into a deeper level of freedom. If you find yourself living in shame or constantly facing shame, then most likely you're experiencing guilt and not conviction. And that's important to recognize, because it means you don't have to stay there. You don't ever have to stay in shame. Jesus doesn't call you to shame. He calls you to freedom. So if that's where you're living, if you're living in shame or anxiety or any of those places, you don't have to stay there. And I know that's easier said than done, but that's the truth. And we are called to speak truth. This is where I get really, I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, I don't want to cry tonight, because I feel really strong about this next part." I said earlier that our convictions aren't just about us. And I meant it. When Holy Spirit convicts you, it's not just about your heart. It is for the kingdom. And Scripture tells us that. I'm not gonna read from Jonah. I decided I'm gonna tell us the story of Jonah, just in case you don't know the story. We're just gonna do a quick synopsis, okay, guys? So forgive me for the shortness of the summary of Jonah. But Jonah is told by God to go speak to a nation who is saturated in evil. And I mean, the most evil things you can think of, everyone in this city is doing them. And God's like, hey, Jonah, I need you to go tell them about me so they can repent and be saved. And Jonah's like, no. And he runs. He runs. He gets on a ship and he runs away, sails away. And then a storm comes. Okay? A storm comes. And Jonah's like, I know this is because of me. So he tells the crew, everyone's like, okay, who's God, right? They don't believe in the one true God. She's like, who is this? Who's God? Like, what's going on? And Jonah's like, oh, it's me. One true God is doing it because I didn't listen to him. These people are pagans, granted. They don't believe in the one true God. And they say, we're not going to throw you over. They save him. They don't throw him over until they have no choice because the storm keeps going and God's like, you're going to throw him over. They throw him over and he gets swallowed by a huge sea creature, most likely a whale, huge sea creature. Swallowed 3 days, 3 nights, spit out. He's finally like, okay, God, I'm going to go tell Nineveh. He goes. Whole city of Nineveh gets saved. They listen to him. It's a real story, guys. It's real life. Whole nation gets saved. That's what we're doing. That's what God is calling us to do. Whole nation gets saved. Because God's like, I'm not going to let you fall out of alignment with me, Jonah. Go do your job. That's exciting. And then Jonah, you know, he should be rejoicing. But he doesn't. He's mad because God saved him. But I tell this story about Jonah from the Bible. It's a whole book in the Bible, guys. If you haven't read it, go read it. It's an entire book. It's a book of Jonah, okay? I tell this because Jonah was so focused on, I'm not doing that. I'm not listening to you. But it was never about just Jonah. An entire nation got saved because Jonah finally listened to God. What will happen when we finally listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit? What will break out in our houses and our neighborhoods and our city when we look at conviction as a gift and not something negative? When we see that the conviction the Holy Spirit gives us is not just about us. It's about our church family. It's about our houses. A couple of years ago, I was sitting around the table with some friends, and we were stationed in Germany, and we loved this little coffee shop. And it was a really tight-knit community, and in really tight-knit communities, I have learned that gossip, form of witchcraft, likes to run rampant, okay? And we were all sitting around this table. And we were talking, and one of my friends looks over and starts to say, I want to share something that I heard about so-and-so What she didn't know is that for weeks at that point, the Lord had been speaking to me about gossip and convicting my heart about gossip. I had been doing a lot of heart work with the Lord, asking for forgiveness for places that I had been gossiping that I shouldn't have, that I didn't even realize were gossip. And I was like, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse that part of my heart because I want to give it more to you. She didn't know that, but I did. So she started to say this, and I said, I got to stop you right there. Because whatever you're about to tell me, I need you to know that I'm going to bring it to the light. That I'm going to bring it to the light with the other person that is involved. Because they deserve to know as well. And there were about four of us sitting. And she stopped. And didn't share. And I did. I went to the other person. I said, hey, I don't know it. But there's some stuff going around and it needs to be brought to the light. I got a message later that night from one of the other girls at the table who wasn't involved in the conversation. And she said, thank you for saying that. I've never known how to handle when someone gossips around me, but now I do. And I say this because it was a conviction that the Lord, I had been accused of it. The Lord had been correcting me in it. But that conviction wasn't just for me. It was for everyone at that table. There are little convictions in our life that seem little to us. That Holy Spirit is saying, hey, I don't want your family to do this right now. Or, I want your family to step into this right now. There's correction that the Lord is doing. Hey, I want you to bring this to your parents. Hey, I want you to bring this to your spouse. And we think that it just has to do with us. But it doesn't. We are the bride of Christ. Not me. Not just you. All of us together. We're the bride. It matters for all of us. We want to move with the wind. And this sounds cliche, but when Holy Spirit says jump, we jump. When Holy Spirit says move, we move. When Holy Spirit says ask for forgiveness, we ask for forgiveness. You know, last weekend, if you were here, there was a beautiful moment. I wasn't here. I listened to it on service and I got told about it after, but there was a beautiful, beautiful moment of the church family singing holy, 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 am I right? Yeah, holy, holy, holy together. And one of the things that Kyle had mentioned was, you know, we don't always know why we are doing these things when Holy Spirit asks us to. But what I want you to know is that I was at a theme park with my family last weekend, and I usually get lost in the busyness of it, right? There's a lot going on, trying to navigate four kids with my husband. It's a lot. But can I tell you that the Lord was so present? There was joy. The Lord was moving on every person I came across. So when we get together and do these things because Holy Spirit is saying, hey, I want us to get on our knees and just sing holy, 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 it might not just be for you. It's not just for you. It's for those of us who aren't in this room. It's for your neighbors, for your family. Maybe they don't quite believe. It's for them. So when we hear the word conviction, our response shouldn't be to curl up and say, oh, that's an ugly word. Our response is, bring it. Yes, Lord. I want to be corrected because I want to walk deeper in you. I got so excited when Jacob was like, freedom, this today, earlier in worship. It's like, yes, Lord, conviction brings freedom. Conviction from the Holy Spirit brings freedom. And if you've ever learned anything different, it's wrong. I will stand on that. Because Scripture tells me otherwise. Anytime I see true conviction from the Lord in Scripture, I see freedom. Holy Spirit brings deeper freedom through conviction. Jesus said, we don't have to do it alone. Jesus said, I'm going to send you a helper. So I'm going to end with this. Holy Spirit doesn't just convict you of things to correct you and realign you with God. Holy Spirit also holds your hand while you do that. You have help. You are not doing this alone. I'm going to sit with that for a little bit because, oh, Kyle's rubbing off on us, man. Look at that. There are people in here that need to hear, and I mean really hear, that you are not alone in your walk, in your perseverance and enduring faith. You are never alone. Jesus made sure of that. He signed and sealed it on the cross. That you would forever have a helper to bring you back as you cling to our God. And I want to make sure that you know that. I want to make sure that you are living that, because that's what we're here for. We're here to make sure that our brothers and sisters know that. If you need time in the sanctuary to pray, we'll pray with you. We'll sit with you. We will remind you that you are not alone. We will speak Jesus over you. And that's what this time is. I'm going to close us out in prayer, but I want you to know that this space is open for you to pray with you, to love on you, to talk with you. I want to ask that if you have any other conversations, to go ahead and bring them out to the lobby after service to make sure that we really honor the healing, the joy, everything that the Lord has in here. I'm going to pray us out, and the front will be open. Lord, I thank you for the gift of Holy Spirit. I thank you for the movement of the wind. Thank you, God, that you do not leave us to do this life alone, that you give us a divine helper to keep us on the path you have set before us. Thank you for everyone in here for coming tonight, Lord, for worshiping together. God, you are so good. You are so sweet. As I was writing this message, I was constantly reminded of how sweet you are, God. And my prayer is that when we hear the word conviction from now on, we don't hear negative things, but we hear your sweetness, Lord. We hear the sweet call of your voice. We hear Jesus, and we hear freedom. I pray for a deeper level of freedom over us, God. I pray that Holy Spirit would speak deeper and clearer this week, Lord, to everyone in here. that our ears would be so open to what Holy Spirit is speaking to us, that our alignment would be a little bit more straight next week, Lord. I pray over our pastor and his wife as they are away, that you would bless them immensely, Lord, that you would deliver them joy and rest. Thank you, God, for who you are, for your goodness and your love, and for not leaving us alone. In Jesus' name, amen.